all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio on Abashedly, Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's good to have you along. It is 7:06 on this Thursday morning, August 15th. Coming up, Kristen Alfheim, a state Senate candidate, will be joining us as part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good. You may ask, well, why the focus on, you know, women running for office in Wisconsin and across the country? Well, we'll get into what some of the men are saying. J.D. Vance's comments on women who aren't grandmothers, and Donald Trump's so-called economic policy speech, and Eric Hovde cackling when asked if he's going to let us know what his net worth is. So we have a few headlines to talk about as well. You can join us during the show as well, either by phone or by text, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. And you can comment on social media as well. You know, Rob normally does from Tigerton, and we'll have him in a moment. But we invite everybody to kind of, you know, check in from wherever you are. And Bonnie writes in, good morning from Brookfield. Got some rain for my garden. Thank you. We appreciate that, Bonnie. And from Rob, for all of us here, which of course would include Greg Bach in Waukesha and meteorologist Brittany Merlot standing by as well. Good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 57. We had a brief shower about an hour ago. I did 7 mowing jobs yesterday, sandwiched in a doctor's appointment in Shawano. On this date, he writes, in 2005, the Highway 29 Chippewa Falls bypass was dedicated to mark the opening of a 4-lane Highway 29 from Green Bay to I-94. I did a history of Highway 29 centered around building it across the state, a 4-lane divided highway. And he adds from the music segment, I remember the song Endless Love at school dances when I was in high school. A very thorough check-in this morning from Rob in Tigerton.
I feel like we could publish the, like, they call them the Tigerton Chronicles.
Hey, there you go.
And I'm not being facetious either.
No.
I mean, Rob
no.
gives us a rich backstory on his life in Tigerton. And
he's talking about the bypass. I can practically see it out my window here. And he's over here telling me about the bypass outside my window. This guy is good.
Pat,
this guy's thorough.
He's telling all of us.
He is.
And the more you know.
That's a da-da-da-da. All right, let's learn more about the forecast from Brittany Merlot, where it's a rainy morning across much of Wisconsin, and we'll see how that's going to stick around for the day, Brittany.
Yeah, it's going to be a dark and dreary one, that's for sure. Damp at times. The first wave of rain is, of course, spreading throughout the state right now. It's moving eastward. Eau Claire, La Crosse, and Superior are pretty much getting hit right now, and that'll slowly be working its way. So hours of light to moderate rain, or we are expecting about an inch just from this first batch. Now, it will wind down this evening. We will see some clearing starting off to the west as we go through this evening. And if you actually see some sunshine today, mark that as a bad thing. Here's why. The more and more sunshine that you see throughout this afternoon or evening, that's actually creating some instability and kind of disrupting the atmosphere, giving it the juice that it'll need to prevent or to actually produce a severe storm. So keep that in mind this afternoon and evening. If you see some sunshine, especially further south you live, that could turn into some strong storms tonight, that's exactly what we're expecting after about 8 o'clock. I think a lot of storms are going to be firing up and moving across the state. We're looking at severe winds and heavy torrential downpours. This is when we're going to see the potential for some flash flooding because everything's already going to be soggy with an inch of rain from this morning and afternoon. And then those on top of it pushing near 2 to 3 inches in some areas.
Oh, my. 2 to 3 inches.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll cope with it, you know, as best we can.
We always do.
Yeah. I mean, look, I haven't had to bring out the sprinklers once this year for the lawn. So,
isn't it great?
Yeah, that part works out really well. Thank you, Brittany. Have a wonderful day.
You as well.
In our daily newsletter, you can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. You'll have a story in there today about the impact of Project 2025 and what a second Trump term would mean to the school lunch programs all around the state, and an article about the growth of pickleball in Wisconsin as well. In our last hour, we read a Twitter thread from Ann Jacobs of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, really all about how, when Eric Hovde says that Dropboxes need to be monitored, he's wrong. They've always been safe and secure, and you using a Dropbox, it's nobody else's business but yours. So if you want to listen back to last hour's show or an hour of any of our Civic Media talk shows, you head to civicmedia.us, where you can find out the stations, the shows, listen back to individual episodes, sign up for them to come to you directly as a podcast, and more. That's at civicmedia.us. The Brewers managed to take a game from the LA Dodgers after dropping the first two games. In the ninth inning, with the Brewers up 5-4, the Dodgers' 1, 2, and 3 hitters were due up in the ninth inning. Devin Williams is on the mound, and he gets Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman 3 outs on just 7 pitches to seal the deal. The Brewers win by a score of 5-4. They wrap up that 4-game series this afternoon. Pregame at 12:35 and first pitch at 1:10 on several Civic Media stations around Wisconsin. Again, civicmedia.us has all the details. So getting back to unpacking some of the news, because there's a lot going on. There's a lot to unpack here, and we try to unpack what we can. We mentioned in our last hour, Eric Hovde saying that he's not going to disclose his personal wealth, and actually laughed at the question. We might play that one in just a little bit here. But let me turn toward the national scene for a moment, and we'll look at the top of the ticket here, both Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. And let's start with Trump, because he was supposed to deliver last night what was billed as a major economic address. And that's because, again, his shtick is getting old. Nothing but, you know, insults and the same lies that have been debunked over and over again. But he keeps saying them, you know, hoping that enough people still believe what he's saying. Well, this was going to be different. This was going to be an economic speech. Get back on the issues. Get back on policy. Get back to the things that, you know, Kamala Harris is racing ahead of him on. You heard fellow Republicans over the past couple of days saying Trump needs to lay off the insults and get back to the issues. So Trump comes out to deliver the speech to a crowd and promptly trashes the idea, mocks the idea of giving an economic policy address.
Now, this is a little bit different day because this isn't around. This is, we're talking about a thing called the economy. They wanted to do a speech on the economy. A lot of people are very devastated by what's happened with inflation and all of the other things. So we're doing this as a intellectual speech. You're all intellectuals today. Today we're doing it, and we're doing it right now. And it's very important. They say.
and then he proceeded to just kind of tell the same old stuff that he always does. And I'm passing this along, not because I like Donald Trump, you know, hurling insults, but again, in what was billed as an economic speech, he relied on things like, oh, the economy is terrible. We're a third world country. No, we're not. We're having the greatest economic recovery on the planet still. The big headlines in the newspapers this morning, inflation is below 3%. For the first time since 2021, the economy is doing exactly what we all wanted it to do best, which was come to a soft landing. The work isn't all entirely done, but the work is definitely getting done. So Donald Trump just continues to say inflation is high when it's not. And then when he had nothing else really to say substantive on the economy, he returned to some of his usual bits like this.
Nearly 4 years, Kamala has crackled as the American economy has burned. What happened to her laugh? I haven't heard that laugh in about a week. That's why they keep her off the stage. That's why she's disappeared. That's the laugh of a crazy person, I will tell you, if you haven't known. It's a crazy. She's crazy. They told her, don't laugh. Don't laugh.
This is his bit now. This is his bit about laughing, and that she's disappeared from the stage.
They said don't laugh. She hasn't laughed. She doesn't laugh anymore. It's smart, but someday it's going to come out. That's the laugh of a person with some big problems.
No.
She says
no.
Her plan is going to be.
The laughter goes on at the rallies with the enthusiastic crowds. She's been hiding. They've been keeping her hidden. She did massive rallies all over the country last week while he was hiding, doing one rally in Montana. So what do you think the media was going to do with this? Well, the New York Times headline talks about how Vice President Harris is going to make an economic policy address tomorrow on Friday. And the New York Times headline is, Harris is set to lay out an economic plan light on details. Are you kidding me? She's going to lay out an economic plan. There won't be enough details in there for the New York Times. But just to read one of the reaction posts to this, we've got a guy in Trump. We've got a guy who's been running for president for 9 solid years with a healthcare plan that's called, I'm going to announce it in 2 weeks. And Harris is the one who's light on details? Harris? Here's the details. Look at the past 4 years. Now, Trump keeps saying, yep, she is tied to Joe Biden and everything that's gone wrong over the past 4 years. All that's gone on in the past 4 years is, again, the strongest economic recovery, the lowest inflation in the developed world right now, record high levels of employment. But Donald Trump believes that if you just keep trash-talking America, if you just keep trash-talking the economy, if you just keep rooting for America to fail, again, saying we're a third-world country, World War III is coming, crime is on the rampage when crime is actually down, border crossings are an invasion when border crossings are actually down. But if you keep saying all these things, enough people will take their grievances and say, yeah, we want this guy to be our leader, even though he's given you no plan. Not just light on the details, no plan other than to extend the 2017 tax cuts, which were overwhelmingly geared toward the very wealthy. And something has to be done about them because they're going to expire next year. And so one of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to be extended and the middle class is going to continue to get squeezed, or we're going to have real tax reform next year that actually focuses on the middle class, looks at things like a child tax credit and credits for child care and making health care more affordable. Or you can take the same tax cuts for the rich and personal insults. Not to be topped in the rhetoric department, J.D. Vance will be along next. We'll hear a couple of things that he had to say, dismissing women's concerns about reproductive health rights and dismissing those who are of a certain age, postmenopausal, and don't have grandchildren to watch. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, the late Bobby Caldwell, born this day in 1951, passed away in March of last year. You can catch all of the birthdays and musical notes in our daily history lesson every weekday morning at 6:50. All right, let's get to J.D. Vance, things that he has said recently and things that he said not that long ago that really reflect the views of a depressingly sizable segment of the American male population. Here he is on Laura Ingraham. This is just a quick little hit from him. When first Laura Ingraham sets it up by saying that suburban women are talking about their reproductive health rights all the time because she calls it, you know, propaganda, and that they're wallowing in the propaganda, which of course is insulting on its face. But then listen to J.D. Vance's response about how this isn't even a real issue. Give a listen.
Senator, one of my dear friends tonight said to me, well, all these suburban women, all they care about is abortion, and they don't understand that decision is with the states now. It's not banned nationally, even if people, some people want it to be banned nationally. It's with the states. What do you say to suburban women out there who are marinating in this propaganda?
Well, first of all, I don't buy that, Laura. I think most suburban women care about the normal things that most Americans care about, right?
Most American women care about the things that normal women care about. So it is not normal for you to be concerned that J.D. Vance's idea is that government should control your bodies. Seems like a perfectly normal thing for a vice presidential candidate to say, don't you think?
Oh, definitely not weird and out of touch.
not even a little bit.
Not a smidge. Yeah. Not a smidge, yep. Not a skosh.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. Not normal. ladies, for you to be concerned about this. Oh, but wait, there's more. Heartland Signal and WCPT Radio in Chicago have discovered that while appearing on a podcast in April of 2020, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance agreed with the host's claim that, quote, postmenopausal females exist just to help take care of children. In the podcast, the vice presidential nominee talked about the way that his son benefited from having exposure to his grandparents, expressing importance for the multi-generational family. The host replied, saying, that's the whole purpose of the menopausal female in theory, to which Vance immediately agreed by saying yes. He talked about how his mother-in-law, who, by the way, was a biology professor, took a sabbatical for a year to move in and help take care of his and his wife's newborn child. He said, quote, it's just what you do. He also agreed with the host that grandparents helping raise his children is, quote, a weird, unadvertised feature of marrying an Indian woman. I'm simply going to pause for effect at this point while Greg rubs his eyes at the whole note. Okay, where do we start to unpack this? First off, if you are a postmenopausal female, which offends you more? Hearing that your primary role is to take care of grandchildren if you don't happen to have grandchildren? Or is it more insulting to be a postmenopausal woman who is a grandma and is told the thing that you need to do is take a sabbatical from your job or leave your job entirely to take care of not your children, but your grandchildren? I mean, this is just an offshoot of the all you single ladies, A, got to get married, B, got to have kids, C, we're not going to give you any options on when to have kids. We're going to take away contraception and IVF options and everything else. Did I miss, Greg, anything in there that didn't insult pretty much the entire spectrum of women?
I mean, no. It's the fact that he's having this conversation with a woman and she's like, yeah, that's insulting I think as well. But I've had that conversation with people like, how can women agree with this? Well, when their lifestyle choices don't, I'm sorry. It's just very, very frustrating to listen to him talk about anything having to do with women now, because he steps on his own fair share amount of rakes now.
Yes.
And and every time he's called out, oh, that's not what I meant. I like cats. What? What are you talking about? You weird, weird man.
He, like Eric Hovde, when they claim they're being taken out of context or that people are lying about them, just remember, these are their own words. Mm-hmm. You can hear the words for yourself. And if you have a different interpretation of them, I'm happy to hear it. I mean, phone lines open, 855-75-CIVIC, and go ahead and give him the benefit of the doubt. But really listen to the words and the context and tell me where voters would be wrong. Tell me where women would be wrong saying, you don't get a say in this. If I want to take care of my grandkids, I will. If I don't want to have kids, I will. If I want to have cats, I will. But he and Eric Hovde just can't stop stepping in it. And we'll close with Eric Hovde here and his personal wealth. We played it last hour, but in case you missed it, here's the thing about rich guys running for office. There's nothing wrong with that. You can do it. Just don't, first off, try to claim you're better than anybody else simply because you're richer, especially if, like Eric Hovde and Ron Johnson, you either inherited it or married into it. So don't try to be better. But more importantly, for the purposes of this conversation, if you're asking to be elected to a position where you're writing the laws, especially the tax laws that could benefit you more than somebody else, then yes, we're expecting a level of transparency in terms of how you'll benefit, which includes knowing what your net worth is. It's something we don't talk about with most folks, but when you run for office, there is this expectation of transparency in how your private wealth will benefit, and yet listen to the condescending way that Eric Hovde laughs off this question and then makes it all about him trying to be some kind of a Superman.
How much are you worth?
I'm not going to get into that question.
And why not?
Why would I? Why would I? I'm successful. You know, in America, part of the American dream
is to be successful, work hard. So I've worked my tail off. I've been a workaholic. I've taken an enormous amount of risk. And what have I done with my success? I've built homes all over the world, rescuing and saving children out of slavery, sex trafficking. It's amazing how you guys don't talk about that. If I was a Democrat, you'd be talking about that all the time, or all the stuff I do here in Madison.
Why would I, he says, I'm successful. When asked his net worth, I'm not going to tell you. Why not? Why would I? I'm successful. It's not an answer.
No. And
not an answer for a guy who's going to be writing tax laws.
Yeah. And he does that thing that all these guys are doing lately is when you ask a question, they laugh it off. And then you hear the solemnness of the follow-up. Why not? And he just changes tone. And he goes, mm-hmm. Why should I tell you? You know, there's an aggression in him that, and also, I'm sorry, I'm a workaholic. Yeah, your dad handed you the company. I work my tail off in the company your dad handed to you. You took risks with your family's money. You didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't. There's no bootstraps here.
No. And again, we're not taking anything away necessarily from the any value he added to the company. But let's acknowledge the head start. And that head start was helped in part by advantageous tax laws that he wants to help write. So why should I, he says, because we expect that level of transparency in our candidates. And just because Donald Trump never did it doesn't mean that we're going to stop asking. One other quick note. Actress Jenna Rollins passed away at the age of 94. One of the great Hollywood actors. And the thing to note that I didn't realize till I saw the obituary this morning, a native of Cambria, Wisconsin. So Jenna Rollins passes away at the age of 94. Our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, is coming up next. You're up north. Welcome back to Up North News Radio on this Thursday morning. It's August 15th, 2024, which means we have 82 days until Election Day, 82 days until Nicole Slavin and Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good can take a rest, take a nap, take a break, take a vacation, I hope. Kate, Nicole, how you doing?
Good. Yeah.
That's there was a lot of trepidation.
We're hanging on to that nap. Amendments. Check. It's been
It'll all be fine. Yep. Look, if you want to follow what is happening with Motherhood for Good, it's very simple. Go to Instagram. They have a website, motherhoodforgood.com, but where you see the real work is over on the Instagram site, Motherhood for Good. Do that, and you'll see the videos they're making, the graphics they put up, the way that they talk about the issues. Oh, hey, by the way, there's merch, too. So, you know, you can have all of that. So let's see. Kate, we'll start with you. As far as is the group itself working on anything in particular here this week?
We're working on a lot of different things. We're taking just like, I think, a little bit of a rest after the election this week. We're so happy about many of the results from that, especially with the statewide amendments. So we're kind of gearing up now that all of the nominations are final, and we're going to be putting some stuff together for that to talk to folks about, like, okay, here are your nominees, make sure you know who you're going to be voting for, how you can help them, things like that. So we'll start putting together some more information on some target races that we're really going to be amplifying. But other than that, yeah, just I'm personally working on getting stuff ready for DNC next week. So we'll have a lot of content on that and plugging a few other like volunteer opportunities with some partner groups we have going on. So yeah.
We also, in classic Motherhood for Good fashion, had a brief appearance by Spider-Man. How old is Spider-Man now?
He just turned 4.
He just turned 4. My grandson recently turned 5. And a couple of days ago, Spider-Man Halloween costume picked out. It's on. It's ready to roll. Is that Spider-Man costume going to make it till Halloween? I don't know.
I know. It's far too early because, like, it'll change 4 times before then.
Yep.
But,
Oh yeah,
the Spider-Man for today. You know,
the first grandson, the one that turns 18 a week after next. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm saying that. Anyway, one of my favorite pictures again, about 4 or 5 years old, Spider-Man outfit. Something about little boys and Spider-Man. So if we get another appearance, that'll be great. Nicole, your kids are how old?
Oh, we're talking college.
Yeah. So are we going to see a 20-year-old Spider-Man by chance coming into the picture?
I mean, if I do, then that's probably going to be associated with some other bad news of like, let's not go there, Pat.
All right. Well, then let's turn to our guest, Kristen Alfheim. We've had her on the show before. She hosted Rational Revolution here on Civic Media. She's a candidate for state Senate. Kristen, I know we've had a technical bump in the road or two getting here. Are you hearing me okay now?
I hear you very well, and I even see you better. Good morning to all of you.
All right, good. Nice to see you there. Thanks so much for coming in. Kate, do you want to talk a bit about Kristen and the district and toss things to her?
Yeah, well, okay, so I'm actually excited to hear more about the district. I know this is much more up north a little bit, but Kristen, I am familiar with you. I watched you last cycle as well, and I know you are running for Senate this time, and under new maps, there's been some changes to the district. So would love for you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the district that you're running in and what you're hearing when you're talking to folks out there.
Absolutely. So thanks for having me on. So the 18th Senate District is newly drawn this year. It now encompasses really the bulk of the Fox Valley. So most of Appleton, Menasha, Neenah, and the bulk of Oshkosh itself. It has not been drawn together in decades. It has not been drawn blue in decades. And now we have been drawn about a 5-point advantage. Extremely important district in the grand scheme of things. We have four beautiful medium-sized municipalities. We have four large public school districts. We have probably more small businesses and global industry than most Senate districts. So it is impactful, and it very much will require a balanced mindset, because we must have everything working together in order for the Fox Valley people to succeed. So I'm very, very excited. I now know who my candidate will be on the Republican side, and we are so stoked to just keep on moving. 88 days? Is that what I heard? 88 days?
82.
Piece of cake. 82? Did you say 82?
I did.
That's so much better. So we're ecstatic. I mean, we've been working hard up here. The volunteer base is amazing. This top of the ticket switch needed to happen. And I think whether anybody acknowledged it or not, it was the right thing to do. And man, has it been great. We certainly have more volunteers going in Winnebago County and out of Gamey County than we've ever had, as long as I've been around. I think between the two counties, we knocked on, it had to be close to 4,000 doors just over the weekend. And obviously with our amendments, both counties went no. Both counties went no. And even though it was just a Republican primary, considering not on yet not working base all in the universe of Madrid. So that is a very compelling time.
You are so spot on. I'm always seeing all the posts of all my friends volunteering down in Outer Gamey, Winnebago, in that area. And it really, really pumps us up. And seeing, particularly on the amendments, just the blue wave going from Door County all the way down, I was like watching figures come in for Brown, crossing fingers that we would be on the nose as well as we were when I woke up. So yeah, that was good to see. Yeah. Question for you. I know you ran for this in 2022 cycle, and you got really, really close, I believe, to winning even with the previous maps, correct? You had a really great, I think you were like within 6,000 or 7,000 votes of winning. So huge, huge kudos to you there. And I think just continuing to grow that blue wave through the Fox Valley is going to be amazing. I think that we might have some issues here with connecting. So Pat, I'll kick it over to you. I'm sure we can certainly keep talking about other things in this vein.
Yeah, exactly. No, Greg was sending a note that we might have had some audio problems. Greg, are you hearing us well at this point? See, now that would explain why Kristen was frozen in that frame. She's calling in on this one now.
Listen, every time, Pat, I am in your show, there's technology. Like, the internet doesn't exist between us. I don't understand.
Well, there's a series of tubes, and every so often, you know, in the Fox Valley, there might be a dip or something like that.
I think there might be a squirrel on a wheel.
feels that way sometimes.
Somewhere around Wyawega, I think, right. is where it all breaks down. Nicole, you're asking about her faring with as it compared to the referendum.
Just in general too. I know that you had ran previously, and you got really close to winning with the old map. So for us, it's just really exciting to see this huge wave of support for you. And curious with your new district, what you're hearing and what sort of topics your constituents or potential constituents would want to have you support and work on when you're elected.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt there's the blue conversation of make sure that we're properly funding things. We have had a stranglehold on the funding for municipalities and school districts for over a decade. And once people understand the facts, they realize that their property taxes are going up and their services are going down. And that is a Republican GOP issue in Madison that has caused that. So again, I try to have conversations. I try to listen. And then when you hear a point, get down to the fact of what's causing it. And then ask the question, who's actually trying to fix it? And the answer is the Democrats. But there needs to be conversation. People are very much tired of the standing on the edges and assuming the opposite side is the devil. It's really not true. I truly believe 60% of us in the Fox Valley are some shade of purple. I am definitely a violet blue. I mean, I understand spreadsheets. I work with taxes and money for a living, but we have got to start taking care of people as our primary focus and then balance the focus on economy and people. Children are the deal. We have not taken care of children in Wisconsin in ages. We have to feed them. We have to house them. We have to keep them healthy, and we have to educate them. That is good fiscally. That is good economically. And that is very much what we want to do. Keep Wisconsin healthy, move it forward, get the next generation on the right path so we can be adding to our community. And that's something that everybody agrees with.
That was really kind of the thrust of your show before, was looking for those common threads where partisanship is less important than, you know, saving for your retirement and what are the rules, you know, about that and other things related to the economy. And once you can establish a conversation about the economy and where things are shared between us, whatever our party affiliation, then you can get into who actually is working for you and who is working right. against you when it comes to those matters.
Absolutely. Conversations are what we have to get back to. If the world lives on talking points, we're never going to get anywhere. So I come into a door and I just ask. I don't come in saying, I'm this, I believe that. I say, I'm this, I'm here to listen. What would you like to tell me? There's no wrong answers. And I let them lead. And if the answer is inflation, well, then we're going to have a conversation about what that actually means, why we're paying more in the grocery stores and why the farmers aren't making any more money. Who's getting the money? Then they will acknowledge that it's corporate layers inside. Well, we can fix that. Which party is actually trying to fix it? Once you diagnose that, then you can realize the philosophy of the groups, even if it's immigration. We have to be able to have the conversation of what would happen to the Fox Valley if we decided to mass deport all of our immigrants. We would literally clash.
Kristen, I feel like... you know, I want to ask you another question, but I really feel like I could just go on mute here and just listen to you talk forever because I'm over here like nodding aggressively to everything you're saying. And I'm like, yes, 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 that is it. And that's why local politics is so important. And it's these local politicians who are going to be talking about these issues. They're not smaller issues. They're just closer to home issues that aren't talked about on, you know, the mainstream media as much because they are more local government issues. But that's the stuff that affects your life. And I think, you know, you talking about the economy, that's not like a Democratic or Republican issue. Everybody's feeling hits with the economy. Everybody's feeling higher prices at the grocery store. And I love what you're saying about, you know, inflation. Actually, I think a report came out earlier this week. It's actually the lowest now it's been in the decade or so. But but when you put out that talking point, for instance, it feels disingenuous to people who are still really feeling strapped for cash. Things at the local level that can fix that. Are you feeling, so just a quick reminder to everybody, when you do have politicians knocking on your door, maybe answer it next time. I know sometimes we don't want to, if we have the Ring doorbells, but you can really learn something if you have somebody like Kristen knocking on your door.
Absolutely.
Are you getting, are you feeling people are pretty receptive to those messages when you're out on doors?
Oh yeah. What people are receptive to is someone not telling them what to think or throwing firebombs at them in terms of vernacular. What they want is somebody saying, I don't care who you're going to vote for. I'm going to represent you, and I would like to know what you feel. And they will have a conversation. I walked up to two doors yesterday that had Trump Hovde signs on them. I walked up to both of them to find out they were moderates. They're just a little lost. So we could have a great conversation. And at the end, it was, can we just stop assuming that anybody that votes one way or the other is evil? That's what we need to get back to. I will lead that charge in Madison. Maps allow us to create accountability. Maps allow us to force us to get things done in Madison. I'm already reaching out to, you know, Republicans that are willing to take that one step towards center. Because in the end, we must move forward. These maps are giving us the opportunity to do it properly, where both sides will have a voice and rational compromise must take place, and it will.
I cannot think of a better advertisement for the new maps and the benefits of them than the way that you've expressed how this is going to be a win for moderation and for conversation and in getting things done across the aisle, which I hasten to add to folks, had been done a lot more before. You know, before the past 12 years or so, there were plenty of bipartisan bills. There were plenty of ways that Republicans and Democrats worked together before we got to this era. If you would like to learn more about Kristen's campaign, go to Alfheim for Wisconsin, and that's Alfheim for Wisconsin.org. You can also find her on Facebook at Alfheim for Wisconsin. There, she's on Twitter. She's on the X. She's everywhere because that's what you do now. You knock on doors and you are on every platform imaginable, and you seem to be doing it very well, Kristen. Thank you so much for being part of things today.
Thank you, guys. Keep doing what you're doing. Spread the word. Spread the love.
Absolutely. And Motherhood for Good, of course, on Instagram or motherhoodforgood.com. And Kate, hope to see you around the convention in Chicago next week.
Absolutely.
All right. Nicole, have a wonderful day. And when we come back, Luke Mathers will join us to talk more about what's coming up all across the Civic Media Radio Network. That's coming up right after this. You're up north.
Here we go.
What did you bring us today for Luke Mathers' segment, Mr. Bach?
I brought you another track from Madison's very own Garbage.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Mr. Mathers, how are you? I'll take yourself.
Doing well, Mr. Cretlow. How are you doing?
You can join the show. It's nice to have you here.
I was taking a sip of coffee. You know, I didn't want the listeners to be subjected to that. How are you?
We keep our slurping to a bare minimum around here.
I appreciate people who use those mute buttons. Big respect.
Yeah. Yes, we're big fans. Big fans of the mute buttons. And sometimes you get a little too much behind the scenes. You know, the big loud yawn, for example, or of course, everybody's favorite, the runny nose, you know. We try to be better than that. Mr. Mathers, we have the Democratic Convention in Chicago coming up next week, and this is no small matter for civic media. This is not like, you know, two guys in a card table. I feel like half the payroll is heading down there to get set up, yourself included.
I will be in the HQ making sure things run smoothly, hopefully, of the sound that will be coming from the network or from Chicago to the network. So I get to be running point on that. But yeah, it was going to be a large endeavor before we had the seismic shift a month ago, where all of a sudden, you know, people started coming out of the woodwork saying, hey, I want to go to Chicago. You wouldn't know anyone like that, Pat, would you?
I wouldn't know anybody like that at all. No.
Hey Luke, can I go to Chicago next week?
So sorry. The bus is full. Great.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
It's always full.
That's not true, Greg. I asked. There was a whole request process months ago of who wanted to cover what, and
that is very true. Yes.
Don't say that neither of you didn't have that opportunity.
Welcome to another edition of Luke Can't Understand Jokes.
I just wanted to make sure that the dirty laundry that's being aired is understandably not mine.
It's not Luke's fault. There's our new motto. It's not Luke's fault. But I do feel bad for the convention organizers because they were doing what they thought they were doing for a convention that everybody thought we were going to have. And then everything changed. And suddenly, you know, a whole lot of people, myself included, said, hey, I guess I want to go after all, but the deadlines have passed for credentials and security checks and everything. And so there's going to be a whole lot of us who I refer to as hotel lobby lizards, because we're not going to have credentials for the United Center or for McCormick Place. And so I'm going to be bouncing from hotel lobby to hotel lobby, depending on where the Wisconsin delegation is and some other VIPs and some people from groups. And I'm just going to be going to all these lobbies and interviewing people. And then I'll be the next morning, you know, playing those clips back here on the show to give everybody a real sense of the flavor of the convention. But Luke, the Civic Media team, there's some of them will be inside the secure perimeter because they're good about making their deadlines. And there will also be coverage from inside the heart of the convention on these fine radio stations. Yes or no?
That is correct. So we will be broadcasting live beginning at noon from the convention center with the Todd Alba show. The Maggie Dawn show will also be live from the DNC in Chicago next week. The Devil's Advocates will be from 4 to 6 p.m. across the network, also there from Chicago. And then from 6 to 7 p.m., we're going to be bringing some specialty programming for the Civic Media News team. So you can tune in at 6 every single evening next week, Monday through Thursday, for live coverage, news coverage from the DNC. And then we're going to be working with our friends in WCPT in Chicago to bring some of the coverage as well for the convention speeches and what's going on for the primetime programming from Chicago next week. So we already know that there's going to be speakers like former President Barack Obama, former President Bill Clinton, Secretary of State and Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton. So there's going to be a lot of big names leading up to the ticket speeches of vice presidential nominee and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz on Wednesday evening, as well as Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris's convention speech on Thursday evening. So it's going to be jam packed. Apparently, there's going to be a Beyonce concert on Thursday as well, leading up to, like, yeah, Beyonce is going to be opening for Kamala on Thursday. So there's going to be a whole lot of different things going on. And it's going to be a wild time in Chicago.
It's going to be a hoot nanny. Holy cow. Listen to that. All right. You mentioned our friends at WCPT, and we really appreciate the work that they do at Heartland Signal. And I appear on a couple of their shows occasionally, and you know, their hosts are over here. And it's one of those cases where also with, like, Mark Jacob, who's in Chicago, and we talk to him every Friday on the program. And a couple of other folks have said, hey, when we're in Chicago, we should get together. Hey, in Chicago, let's get together. And I just have this feeling, including from Courier Newsroom, people that I almost never see are coming into Chicago. I just have this feeling that the schedules are going to be such that one of them is going to say, yeah, let's meet for coffee at, you know, noon on Wednesday. And then I'm going to hear from the next one going, hey, the only spot I got open is noon on Wednesday. And then Mark Jacob's going to go, hey, want to meet you for coffee, but all I got is noon on Wednesday. So, you know, this whole thing has to be, shall we say, flexible, nimble.
Yes,
we cannot tell you things.
We're going to be hopefully getting some guests for Matt Nair on Air as well that can be chiming in from the convention. Earl Ingram's going to be on the ground as well. He won't be broadcasting in the convention center, but he will be there in Chicago and doing a similar aspect of UPAT, but he does have the credentials. We're just not going to be having the broadcast capabilities from 8 to 10.
Right.
So Earl will be going around talking to folks, getting interviews as well. It's going to be a jam-packed week of news, and there's going to be no shortage of those opportunities to tune in and listen to what's going on in Chicago here across the Civic Media Radio Network.
My only question for my show is, you know, whether the hotel that I'm at will have hopefully a good signal, you know, to get things out of there, because at 6 a.m. there's not really any other facilities, any place else to do a show. And I've been told, and I'm not going to give the name of the hotel, but, you know, once I was told in no uncertain terms by the Civic Media folks that there was no more room at the inn, at the palatial VRBO that you guys are getting, that I had to get whatever I could get in downtown Chicago. And the description is something along the lines of very stately and ornate, dating back to Hollywood's golden era, and hasn't been repaired since then.
In Chicago? What?
So it's gonna look like you know, like Lola, the showgirl at the end of Copacabana, you know, faded feathers in her hair.
Oh,
and hopefully if things work out, I'm gonna have some wonderful tales to tell. And if things don't work out, I'm gonna have lots of good tales to tell. So looking forward to all of that. Luke Mathers, thank you so much. Hey, you know what? You should I'm gonna be at a Brewers game this weekend. You should stop by.
Okay. I'll try to do that.
I think you should. Well, I'm going to see Greg on Saturday. Actually, come out and see Greg on Saturday.
Oh, you'll have to keep me posted. I'm dog sitting by myself. The missus is away this weekend.
Dog sitting. Well, bring the puppy. It'll be great.
We'll see. We'll work out the details.
Happy to put you on the spot like that. Just for the benefit of my social calendar. Thank you, Luke. Thank you, Greg. You'll see him at 10 a.m. for Matt and Air on Air. Thanks to today's guests, Kristen Alfheim, Joseph Pecky, Kate Duffy, Nicole Slavin, and thanks to all of you for being here as well. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning.